Aloha!
Hello, and thank you for joining us for a very special sixth episode of The Backside of Water, a podcast that delves into the rich history, awesome stories, and fascinating details behind your favorite Disney attractions. I'm Alex Stewart.
And I'm Harrison Unby.
This episode is the first in a new set of episodes that we are releasing designed to complement the particular series currently being covered on the show. Being that our current series is covering all of the attractions in Adventureland, we thought it would be a travesty if we were to not cover the greatest Adventureland attractions not in Adventureland.
Wait, that doesn't make any sense. An Adventureland attraction cannot exist outside of Adventureland, can it?
Well, not in the strictest sense, Harry. But there are certain Disney attractions that are so close to the heart, the spirit, the theming, and the essence of a given land that the attraction in question cannot help but be linked to that specific land.
I'm still skeptical. This kind of seems like the time you told me that giving you $20 behind the Big Lots was the best investment I'd ever make.
But bro, you have to admit, I did make you a platinum member of Big Al's Big Lots Highball Lounge. And now don't tell me that hasn't paid off.
You're right. I mean, the memories are definitely priceless, like the time I gave you that $20. Anyway, what attraction is it that you're talking about?
Well, I'm talking about Trader Sam's Enchanted Tiki Bar. I know it may not be in Adventureland, but because of its heart and soul, it might as well be nestled between the Enchanted Tiki Room and the Jungle Cruise.
Al, that's where Aladdin's Oasis is, but... okay, yeah. Yeah, it fits way better than Aladdin's Oasis. All right. Fair enough, Mr. Stewart. The surrogate attraction idea, I'm starting to warm up to it.
Harry, I knew you'd see things my way. Primarily because I wrote this portion of the show.
Oh, well, Al is the world's greatest. He's also a genius. What is this script, man?
Just read it.
Al, didn't two grueling years researching the dark science of reanimation and necromancy teach you the dangers of playing God?
Dude, that was like the best thesis of the semester, and this time it's different.
It was a good thesis, but this episode is devoted to the surrogate Adventureland attraction Trader Sam's Enchanted Tiki Bar. This place is awesome, and for those who haven't been there, we are hoping this episode will whet your appetite and put a passion in your heart to visit this Disneyland hotel staple.
Now, without further ado, here is the Trader Sam's Enchanted Tiki Bar. We can't discuss Trader Sam's Enchanted Tiki Bar without first paying homage to its predecessor, the Lost Bar. The bar was known more as a Peter Pan-ish reference to the Lost Boys, as it was located next to the Neverland Pool. But the Lost Bar was also very much rooted in the tradition of the Jungle Cruise, even having a miniature radio-controlled version of the Jungle Cruise on site, where anyone could take the helm of their favorite jungle boat and drive through the rivers of adventure.
This was really awesome. If you can Google it, they had a little pond that you could just motor your Jungle Cruise around in. They even had names of each boat.
I know, I was super bummed because when I was working there, everybody was like, we gotta go to Lost Bar. And sadly, I never went to Lost Bar, so I never got the pleasure to ride or to drive a jungle boat.
Well, at least you got to drive a real jungle boat. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's true. There is that payoff.
That's your consolation prize.
Yeah, sadly though, the Lost Bar closed in August of 2010, but it made way for a new creation. According to legend around Disney, a famous character in the jungle known as Trader Sam decided it was time to shake things up at the Disneyland Hotel. We actually found this audio reel inside the Dole Whip Hut by the Enchanted Tiki Room, and it pretty much explained it all.
There are quite a few things that can claim Southern California as their home, one of them being the Tiki Bar. Once a watering hole for wayward travelers, charming locals, and adventurous tourists, tiki bars like Don the Beachcomber created a wonderfully eclectic tropical atmosphere for patrons to partake of the sweet, tangy, and exotic libations of the tropics. Why, tiki fever has even hit the jungles of Adventureland. Trader Sam, famed head salesman of the jungle, purchased a parcel of land at the Disneyland Hotel and created a tropical oasis of his own. Trader Sam's Enchanted Tiki Bar offers its guests exotic eats and drinks inspired by Trader Sam's travels throughout the world. Sam himself has created all of the drink mixes after being inspired by the head-shrinking potions he whipped up as head salesman. Sam has also adorned the walls with some of his favorite keepsakes from his favorite Jungle Cruise skippers over at the Jungle Navigation Company. You will also see artifacts donated by Sam's close friend and colleague, Dr. Henry Indiana Jones. So, won't you please consider joining us for a tropical drink and a hearty laugh? You will always feel at home when you are dining at Trader Sam's Enchanted Tiki Bar, where drinks are always two for one, as are the Shrunken Heads.
That reel made me want to go so badly. I want to pull on the cool bamboo handles and open the doors to a world that melds the relaxed feeling of the tiki room with the jovial, adventurous atmosphere of the Jungle Cruise, all while serving delicious tropical libations culled from Trader Sam's most exotic journeys. This bar is about so much more than drinks. They offer an amazing selection of Polynesian food. I'm a huge fan of sharing their ahi poke, which is a sushi-grade ahi tuna steak, avocado, and a blend of spicy, savory sauces over crisp wonton chips. They also have tangy shrimp tacos to complement your sweet, boozy tropical drink. Beyond the food and drink, though, the atmosphere is spectacular. Brandon Clayla, a Disney Imagineer in charge of decorating Trader Sam's, says there are over 1,600 items decorating the interior. The decoration scheme started with a simple but crucial question. Who is Trader Sam? They decided that he's a world traveler who may have met anyone from Disney's live-action adventure experience. So they decorated the bar accordingly, with memorabilia from Jack Sparrow, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, the Enchanted Tiki Room, the Jungle Cruise, even things from swap meets, eBay, and flea markets.
That's crazy. I also think it's pretty nuts that we really haven't addressed this on the podcast, that the Jungle Cruise is actually getting a film adaptation soon starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So it will be part of that live-action adventure experience.
That's amazing. I also thought, doesn't it have like Tom Hanks and Tim Allen or somebody, some comedian?
That was actually the way it was going to be, but they just restructured it and got new writers and a new director. And so the Tim Allen, Tom Hanks movie is no longer in the works. It's starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and it's actually going to be a period piece. So it's taking place, I think,
That's the only way to do it.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. But I think it's taking place back in the late 1920s.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm stoked for it.
Well, that's exciting. I'll be excited to see what they put into Trader Sam's to complement that live action. That's something that's pretty cool, is when a good movie comes out, seeing what they put from that movie in the parks.
I completely agree.
I could go crazy listing artifacts, but I don't want to go too crazy. But while you're there, just look for visual jokes. There's a picture of John Lasseter. There's a bullwhip from Indiana Jones. There's actually the map from Indy's desk on the Indiana Jones adventure, which you're always, when you're in the queue, you can never really look at the map. So at Trader Sam's, you can really study it. There's a postcard to Trader Sam from Marcus Brody. I love this. Asking where Indiana Jones is, since Indy's been missing for a while. They think about everything. Of course you'd talk to Trader Sam, because Trader Sam would know. And there's tons of other stuff. And everything is themed and has a story. So if you ask the bartenders, they're storied as off-duty or retired Jungle Cruise skippers, and they have a spiel for each drink and props on the wall. So goofing around is part of the experience. So while you're there, you just unleash your worst puns next time you're at the bar. And Trader Sam's is amazing. They also hired famous Disney memorabilia artists Kevin Kidney and Jody Daly to help create some of the decorations for Trader Sam's. These two artists designed the ship and the bottle after the Wicked Winch, which is the ship that fires cannonballs over your head in Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and they also painted the totem poles, which were made, they were actually made of molds from the totem poles in the Tiki Room. And they painted them according to the 1963 color scheme.
That's what's so awesome about this place. I mean, really quick, I want to go back to the bartenders, because yeah. I don't know if this is like 100% true, but I've heard that each bartender is actually trained as a Jungle Cruise skipper first, like goes through Jungle skipper training.
Really?
Before they actually become a bartender, just so they can have the backstory, they can have the knowledge of the attraction, and kind of just feel the essence of the ride. I could be wrong. For listeners who are currently Trader Sam's bartenders, let me know if that's true or not by sending us an email to thebacksideofwaterpodcast@gmail.com.
And honestly, it wouldn't surprise me. Disney goes to really thorough lengths to make sure that their stories are really fleshed out. So,
Yeah.
And Trader Sam's is one of the things I love about it. Here's something else that's interesting. It's the only place where the tiki poles are three-sided in the whole world. In the tiki room, they all have four sides. Only place they have three sides is in Trader Sam's.
Nice little piece of trivia.
A little bit of trivia for you to nibble on.
The vibe of Trader Sam's sucks me in every time. And speaking of great vibes, we should probably talk about Don the Beachcomber a little bit, which is actually the first official tiki bar in the world. The bar is located in Huntington Beach, California, and I'd give my left tiki totem to be able to visit. The bar was actually very recently endangered by a building developer who wanted to use the land to build housing on this uber historical site. But thankfully, the locals banded together and saved Don the Beachcomber. There was also a green van parked out front, and these four kids and a dog that apparently foiled the entire thing. And the quote from the newspaper from the giant CEO of the company that was trying to kill Don the Beachcomber was, "I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for these meddling kids." So I think that's kind of cool.
Zoinks. Wow.
So it's a pretty awesome true life story that gives us even more reason to visit this famous tiki locale.
Wow, that's, I would love to go. That's something that's great about Southern California is the I didn't realize this, but the idea of the tiki bar was kind of cold and perfected there in Southern California. So Trader Sam's is able to take the best of Disneyland culture and the best of tiki bar culture and put them together into Trader Sam's, and it really, really works.
I completely agree. I think that it's good to remember that this bar is first and foremost a bar at Trader Sam's. So the drinks are well thought out and really darn tasty for the most part.
Really good.
Oh, absolutely. But honestly, you don't want to hear about tiki drinks from a doofus like myself or Harry. So we probably need to call in an expert who can give you expert advice on choosing a drink at Trader Sam's. Now, this is a backside of water first. We have the opportunity to bring our friend Dave Nelms in, a noted tiki expert who shares with us some of the best drinks that Trader Sam has to offer. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a special segment that we like to call Disney Drinks featuring Tiki Chippy. Okay, so we actually have a very rare experience here on the backside of water. We usually are kind of secluded in our little Disney worlds.
It's just us talking to each other.
Which, you know, we love, but we're actually able now to bring in an awesome guest that we have met over Instagram and has been a ton of fun.
He's been really supportive of our podcast from the very first Adventureland episode.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that, yeah, we've just kind of forged a friendship over the last five-ish months. You may have seen him on Instagram. His handle is Tiki Chippy. We would like to introduce Dave Nelms.
Well, thank you. Welcome. Glad to be here.
Glad to be on. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So for those who don't know, Dave is pretty big in the tiki world. What got you into the tiki scene originally?
Well, I'm just a big enthusiast. My wife says I have obsessive compulsive disorder. So when I get hooked on something, I'm all in. And about 10 years ago, a friend of mine who was into the tiki scene, but not really into it. We started hanging out a little bit more together. We went to a couple of tiki bars and I just started meeting a lot of the tiki people and it just kind of grew on me. And I just became obsessed with the tiki and going to events and having fun.
That's awesome.
And you grew up in Southern California, didn't you?
That's correct.
Okay,
yeah,
that's like the birthplace of the tiki bar.
Yeah, and I've always enjoyed, hanging out at the beach, Polynesian, Hawaii, going to Hawaii, would love to go more, but I can't. And so the tiki scene was kind of an actual, just, real easy fit for me.
You liked everything it represented?
Yeah. And I had about four or five Hawaiian shirts, and my wife said, "That's it, you're done with these." And we redid my wardrobe, and then I got into the tiki scene, and now I think we just latest count, I'm over 70. And
that'll happen.
That's impressive, man. You're rivaling John Lasseter over at Pixar. I think he's got something like 270.
Yeah, on like a rotating hanger or something ridiculous.
Yeah. It comes up every once in a while, family discussions.
You come into a room and your wife laid them all out on the bed, just wordlessly.
What do you have to say for yourself now?
I can explain.
Another one? No, okay.
Well, it's a collection, That's the nice thing is you can justify it by saying it's a collection. That's why, as a 30-year-old man, I'm able to buy toys and put them on a shelf and say, "Honey, it's a collection." And our son will play with these in the future.
Yeah, they're for him. They're for a future.
Yeah. Early on when I was in the tiki scene, of course, and mugs are a big thing for me, and tiki, you know, collecting tiki mugs and everything, and I started getting a bunch of mugs. My wife was, what are you doing with all these? You know, you can't drink out of them. You can't take them all, but it's hard to understand the mind of a collector if you're not a collector.
I think that's actually a really good point, especially with something along those lines. A mug is, I mean, to most people, a very utilitarian device, but I think for a collector, you're like, well, you don't want to have to drink out of these. You need to display them and keep them clean and use care with them.
Yeah, exactly. And as we, you know, go on further and talk about Trader Sam's, you know, or something, there's the tiki mugs you'll want to get from the artists who design things that are basically art and display piece. But then you have the mugs that you would get from a location or from an event. So it is a keepsake. It is a reminder of something that you've been to. So if you go to Trader Sam's and you have a shrunken head zombie, then you can bring that mug home and make yourself a zombie at home and have, you know, your own little, you know, bring that Disney magic or whatever back home.
Yep. I'm drinking out of my Hippopotami Tai glass right now. It's crazy that there are different tiers of tiki mugs. You've got mugs that are really designed by artists that you don't drink out of, and you've got more utilitarian mugs.
Exactly. Exactly. You have mugs that are purely art pieces. They're really, I mean, they've taken the tiki mug to the next level. I mean, they're really high. And then, you know, all the way down to the ones you'd find for just tiki bars that you'd hand out to your friends so that, you know, if they drop one at a party, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
I think that's the interesting thing is you see, I mean, there's such a wide range of, I don't know how to say it, knowledge within the world of tiki that I don't think a lot of people understand. And I think with some, it's such an intense culture in some areas. I should say intimidating, not because the people are intimidating, but because there's so much involved.
Yeah.
And so I guess one question that I would have for you is somebody who's wanting to get into the tiki scene, what would be a good way for them to kind of be introduced into that world?
Well, the hardest thing is if you're in a location such as Denver or you know, an area where there's not a, I don't want to say tiki scene, but where there's not a lot of people who share the same interest, it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like we said, in Southern California, it's easy for me because there's always something going on. Many people first got into the tiki scene and kind of connected was through a website called Tiki Central. And that website is still up and going today.
Is it tikicentral.com?
It's tikicentral.com.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of ways to connect. And that's where people from all over the world actually connect and talk about everything tiki and other things beyond that.
That's so even actually, if you're in Cleveland, you can connect with tiki fans.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, so, it's funny because on Tiki Central, that's where I learned about Denver's first tiki bar that was, we've got a famous street here in town called Colfax, which is known for women of the night and things along those lines now. But it was actually located there in town. And I want to say that Eli Headley actually helped with the interior decoration of the tiki bar. I could be way off, but I think that that's actually where I was first introduced to who he was through that exploration.
Right, right. Eli Headley, and for those that don't know, he was a beachcomber who picked up a lot of items along the beach and would take these items and also carve, and then was used to create some of the signature restaurants that were popping up in the 50s and 60s. And his grandson today is still doing that. It's Bamboo Ben, and does a lot of design for tiki bars all over the world.
Which is so awesome. I've been reading up on these things, and they're now saying that there's this third wave of tiki. Have you heard anything about that?
Yes, there's a tremendous resurgence right now in tiki. And I don't know if it's just based upon the cocktails and the drinks, because there is it seems like craft cocktails are going through the roof with speakeasies and everything, mm-hmm. Tiki bars. But it really seems to be blooming. It really seems to be a lot of more people coming into the culture.
Now, is that something that the tiki culture embraces, or do you think that there's some worlds that are like, no, we want to protect this. And I don't know if it's necessarily snobbery, but I think that it's reverence for the culture that they don't want, you know, a lot of people coming in and, I mean, hipsters, if you're listening to this podcast, we love you. But there's some people who are like, well, this is, you're doing this for ironic purposes, not for the actual love of the culture.
I think there's, for the most part, it's welcomed. I think there's always going to be a certain amount of people who come in, and until you find your little niche, because tiki is so broad. There's so much to it. There's art, there's music, there's, of course, like we talked about, the cocktails, there's the social aspect of it, there's fashion, there's mod. So when you kind of find your own little niche, it's really good to fit there. But there, like you said, there are purists who will get mad, and for the most part, I don't see that. Most everybody, I mean, every group has people you don't like. I mean, you go to Disneyland, you find people that you don't like.
But, oh yeah.
The most part, yeah.
I love everybody there.
Yeah.
Especially the moms with the strollers that run them into your heels.
Yeah,
that's my favorite group.
They're a delight, or that screaming child, and, yeah. You know, while you're waiting in line. But I digress. Yeah, and you find most people that I find in the tiki culture, they're just very opening, and just people want to get together, and have a reason to get together and share a good experience.
It seems like being laid back and accepting is kind of part of the tiki DNA, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what kind of really drew me into the culture. It wasn't about just going out and having a few drinks. It was really getting together with people, and I never really, until I started getting into it, was going to all these different events and going to these functions, and it's really opened up a lot of appreciation for a lot of things for me personally.
That's awesome. I feel like it's a great place for people to be able to find a great community. I mean, with our podcast, we unbelievably have hit the tiki community pretty hard. Like it's a hit amongst tiki files,
tiki files.
I think that's a word that I just created right now. I just actually put it in the Oxford English Dictionary.
Yeah, you put it down. I've heard it before, but I'll give you credit.
Okay, thank you. At least we have this for posterity and for
the X files and the tiki files.
When we go to court, I will reference this episode.
Tiki files. That's what a tiki uses to file his nails. A tiki file.
Hi-o.
There we go.
Hey,
there's a new market, new product too. A new term and a new product. Boom.
Man, that was perfect. That was. Thank you for being on here, Dave. Because that right there was like
Dave.
That was like the funniest thing that's ever been said on our podcast
by far.
So do I need to drop the mic and walk off the stage now? Okay.
Hey, come back. We got to finish the interview.
Yeah. Our ratings have sunk.
So one question that I do have for you is, I don't remember where I was going with the Tiki Files thing. Sorry, I'm so off track, but it's okay. We'll shift gears. That's what we're all about here, right? Is constantly shifting gears to not sound like fools.
That's what
I was saying, is being very grateful that the Tiki world has embraced us, because the fact is they are all awesome and all laid back. Now, Dave, I don't know if this is like super underground, but Harrison and I grew up with this band that we are deeply, deeply in love with, and they lend themselves well to the tiki world. But have you ever heard of the Ziggins?
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, man, you need to check them out.
I will check them out. I will definitely check them out.
Yeah, they tout themselves as what, cow rock punk surfabilly?
Cowpunk Surfabilly.
Yes. And they're incredible. I don't even know if they're playing music anymore, but
I don't either.
We
got into them because they were referenced a lot on Sublime albums, and we were in high school, we were Sublime nuts, which is pretty much one of
back, it's a little bit nerdy.
A little bit overrated, but then again, sometimes it's just the right thing for what you want. And that's one of the reasons we ended up going to Southern California, is we just kind of felt this draw to that area. And that's where we really, I think that's where I first got exposed to tiki culture, was going to places like the Bahuka Lounge.
Yes, which is no longer here.
Ah. Oh.
Yeah, sad.
It is. It's a shame, because I just saw through all of my followings on Instagram that Don the Beachcomber, like the original tiki bar, was kind of being threatened in a movie style against like a giant corporation, right?
Yeah, that's a interesting story, but that's probably something we can do on another day, because it goes long. It's a long and drawn out story. But just to go back, and I'm sorry, but you know, you're talking about like punk and stuff like that. A lot of the people who are very big now in the tiki world, who are doing a lot of, you know, hosting the big events and stuff, they kind of were in the punk counterculture, and then they moved out of that. I don't know if they just got too old to be in a mosh pit, but they moved out of that counterculture and kind of got into the the tiki scene and the tiki, you know, at the time the tiki was kind of like a counterculture. And so, you know, that kind of groups that. So you do have a lot of crossover to a lot of different groups.
That's awesome. And that's what I think is so cool about tiki culture is you're seeing it really is extremely diverse and it's very eclectic and you don't have just run-of-the-mill kind of people in there. And that's what's so cool is you've got a crazy diversity amongst the followers.
Right. You have something for everybody, but even though everything's not for everybody. I mean, there, you know, you have a huge connection to Disneyland. You have a huge connection to music. You have a huge connection to art. You have a huge connection to other different facets, car culture, other things that you know, all seem to blend, to mesh the Polynesian pop culture to architecture, to history. So yeah, it's a big convergence.
Well, and that's what I think is cool, like you were saying, the connection to Disneyland. I mean, obviously, our podcast being devoted to Disneyland, it's incredible for especially someone like myself who loves the concept of the Tiki Bar and loves Disneyland with a somewhat unhealthy love to see those converge in Trader Sam's. So yeah, let's chat a little bit about Trader Sam's. What do you think? I mean, have you been quite a bit?
Probably. I mean, I don't go as much as I'd like to.
Pretty crowded, from what I understand. It can get really.
It can get very crowded. It can get very crowded. But yeah, I've been quite a bit. I've been probably more than maybe the average person. I know people. Obviously, I know people who go a lot more than I do.
So, what
would
be
the time to go to avoid crowds? Are you allowed to say that?
I've found that, you know, the earlier you get there, they open at 11, you know, and the, as the old saying goes, if you're drinking rum during the day, that just makes you a pirate, not an alcoholic. So, yeah, so yo-ho. You know, the earlier you get there, you know, usually before 5 or 6 during the week. It's open every day, so... But if you go later in the evening, obviously, and if there's a convention at the hotel, or obviously if it's a busy weekend, it's going to be packed.
So while you're there, what would you say is your favorite drink on the menu or off the menu?
On the menu, I enjoy the Aoa Bowl with my family. Don't bug me, work. I enjoy the Aoa Bowl and. I do like the Shrunken Zombie Head and the Krakatoa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so those are some. Now, are those ones that are more sweet? Are they stronger? What do you like about them?
Those are sweeter drinks. They're all fun drinks. They have you know, they all come with a signature mug, of course. So that's one thing I think Disney did very well by incorporating an original mug that still has kind of a Disney-esque look to it, but yet very original. And the drinks are good. Off the menu, there's, you know, I love a classic Trader Vic's style Mai Tai. I love a classic Navy Grog. And the one thing about Trader Sam's, again, that they did right is they brought in people who really know how to mix drinks. This isn't just, you know, you're not just going to the park and they're walking over to a drink dispenser and giving you, I mean, they're mixing them up right there in front of you and they're mixing them right.
That's what I think is great about Disney is I don't think that they're necessarily I think that there are so many animators, so many Imagineers, so many cast members in general at Disney who are part of the tiki culture that I think that it would be impossible for Disney to make this in a way that seems trite or cheap or disingenuous to the culture. So I think that that's what Trader Sam has going for it. Is the support of the culture within the Disney culture.
Right, and they did it right. When they were opening it, the big fear, a lot of the talk around the fire pit was, you know, are they going to just turn it into a, you know, another attraction, make it kind of silly and just not make it original. But as we've learned by going there, it really is a special place. It meets what a tiki bar should be. It's you walk in and you hear exotic music playing. There's no television. It's not a, you know, like many places now that say they're tiki bars. You walk in, they're, you know, showing a football game or something. Mm-hmm. There's no windows on it. It's what a tiki bar should be. You go in and you are in another world. You've escaped. You know, you've left the hustle and bustle of Disneyland, and now you're in this, you know, Polynesian place with this music and all this wonderful decor that, you know, from so many tiki artists as well as the Disney themes have been incorporated into it. It just takes you to another place.
That is, and then, oh, go ahead, continue.
No, I was just going to say, and then you know, you lead into the shenanigans that happen while you're at the bar.
Yes. You're sharing a big bowl of alcohol with your friends, and you know, it's great camaraderie, you know.
Yes.
Well, and I feel like the one thing that's also really cool about Trader Sam's, for those who haven't been, there are certain drinks that you can order or certain things that you do inside the building that trigger certain things to happen. Do you know, Dave, anything in particular that, like, the drinks that you can order? Because I think they change over time, and I don't know if they remain the same, that if you order this one drink, then this one thing happens.
Yeah, they're pretty much the same.
Okay.
The only one, well, they don't get a show for that. I was going to say the only one that's kind of been added is the zombie that came with the mug, but that one doesn't have a show. If you order, we'll start. So if you order the Ooa Bowl, which I mentioned before, it
glad
comes.
You're saying that, by the way, because I was reading it over and I was like, what? Oh, the Ooa.
Well, if you go to Trader Sam's, you'll hear it several times as they chant Ooa, 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 and they're taking tambourines out and, you know, running.
Oh my gosh.
It turns into a big event. And they've, you know, I haven't been yet, but I've heard at the Grog Grotto in Florida, they've even upped the ante a little more. But, but you know, yeah, the Ooa comes served in a bowl designed for Trader Sam's, flaming, you know, with a flaming, the flaming flame, and you know, you're throwing cinnamon in it to spark, and you're chanting, and it's just a very neat thing to do if you're there with a group of people. So it's kind of a fun thing, and everybody's sipping from the same bowl. Very, very traditional. Tiki has, mm-hmm. you know, one of the things that you could get years ago at Don the Beachcomber at Trader Vic's was a scorpion bowl, mm-hmm. and that had, you know, long straws on it. So everybody's sitting around the bowl and sipping together. It's a traditional thing. So it's really fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So that would be like the biggest, is that the biggest show that they have?
No, that's not, I wouldn't say that's the biggest show, but that's when I go and I'm bringing, like when I bring my parents who aren't into tiki at all or friends that aren't into tiki at all, like we would come and we'll sit and we'll order an Ooa Bowl. And so all the attention is brought to you because they're bringing this, you know, the waitress or waiter brings in this fiery bowl and they're chanting Ooa, and then the waitress will throw the cinnamon in the bowl and the sparks will fly. And so every, you know, especially if you don't want any attention, that's always good to bring that person who doesn't want any attention because all the attention's on them for that.
Make them squirm.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a good starter because, you know, four people, then they've only had a little bit, you know, you can just kind of start that social lubricant. Yeah, and then get them ready for the next step.
Nothing puts you at ease like drinking something that's on fire, you know?
Yes.
Calms the nerves.
It's a good icebreaker.
Yeah, oh, it definitely is.
Did you even get your pun, Harry? It's a good icebreaker.
Yeah, I did, and I went with it. Okay. I went with it.
Good. I'm glad. I've decided that my new job is to be the pun pointer outer.
You just made an unintentional pun.
Everybody loves that guy who just, like, makes the fact known that the joke has been said. That's like the really funny guy to hang out with.
Yeah, as long as it's not your own joke, right?
Yeah. Well, I have found that now being a father, I'm able to do that, and I'm not funny, but at least I'm justified as a dad. I can be like, oh, did you guys just see what I did right there? It's the ultimate dad joke.
Yeah.
Well, this has been awesome, Dave. You have been extremely, extremely knowledgeable, a great guest, and one thing, I mean, it wouldn't be a podcast about Disney if we didn't ask you your favorite Disney attraction.
Oh, it's got to be the Tiki Room. Tiki Room with the Pirates as being a very close second.
So, yeah, just give us a quick overview. Not a quick overview, but in your opinion, give us a quick overview of the show.
Tell us all about Disneyland.
Well, it's this magical place.
Well, I mean, obviously because of the Tiki influence, but what is it that you love about the Tiki Room? Why are you drawn to it, do you think?
I think it was probably as a kid just going and listening to the music and being fascinated by the animatronics. And then as I got older, it was just the Hawaiian style and just the kind of a place to kick back and relax. And now, of course, with my love for Tiki, every time I go in there, I just notice so much more mm-hmm. with the details and the design.
There's new stuff to notice every time.
Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, it really is a fun place to be. Plus, I like to drive my kids crazy by dragging them in there every time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that song gets stuck in your head bad.
But it's the greatest song in the world to get stuck in your head, because no matter when you sing it, it's not like Small World where it's almost like a plague in your mind. Instead, for me, anything in Tiki Room is more of a happy place. Whenever I'm having a stressful day, I just go to my happy place, which is hosted by Fritz, Jose, Michael, and who am I missing?
Pierre.
Ah, you rascal, you.
Whatever happened to Rosita?
Oh. I think somebody left the shower running. So thank you so much, Dave. We won't keep you any longer. But if people were wanting to follow you on any social media, how can they do that?
Oh, I have a Instagram page, Tiki_Chippy on Instagram. And of course, I'm on Facebook, and Southern California Pineapple Growers on Facebook. So that's it.
Awesome.
Great. Well, hey, before we go, I wanted to ask you really quick. You were just at Mahalloween, right? And that looked like an amazing event.
Oh, it was.
Can you tell us a little bit about what it was like to be there?
Yeah, absolutely. This was the second Mahalloween event that they had done. Last year, they did a Mahalloween, and it was put out as Trader Sam's had been open for a year, so Mahalo for thank you, and you know, Halloween for Halloween, so they combined the two.
Yeah.
And they took the opportunity to release the new edition of the Zombie Head mug last year. Mm-hmm. And they brought us in. Last year was just a kind of a seminar. They talked about the Grog Grotto that they were building in Florida, and of course introduced a new mug, and we got a special edition of the mug for that. But this year they really upped the ante. It was basically a full dinner show.
Instead of a seminar, that's nice.
Yes, yeah.
It's like, welcome to our timeshare presentation.
Yeah. Well, you know, they did the Diamond Luau before, where they actually talked about the Tahitian Terrace. So that was, you know, being again, Tiki Nut, Disney nerd, they talked about the history of the Tahitian Terrace and everything. But that would probably be for another podcast. So this is, since we're talking about Trader Sam's, he actually works for Disney, but he's never done, he's an entertainer. His stage name is King Kugalele. He's been in the Tiki scene for many years. And if you get a chance to watch the videos that people have done on documentaries about Tiki, he's in that. And he played a part in this event, where he was kind of the master of ceremonies, gave a little fun presentation, and then they had a fantastic group of dancers who came out and did different, Tahitian and Samoan and New Zealand dancing. So it was really great. And then the one thing I just kind of want to throw out there is that they did the fire dance, the fire knife dance. And the dancer who did the fire knife dance is a third generation fire knife dancer and third generation to dance at Disneyland. His grandfather used to dance at the Tahitian Terrace. His father, who was in the band, who provided the percussion, used to dance at the Tahitian Terrace, and now his son is dancing there. So it's just really a neat tradition. It's really, really neat to see.
So he knows all about it through the years. It's in his blood.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
That's incredible. Man, so those are the types of things. Now, are those open to the public, or are those invite only?
Yeah, it was open to the public. You obviously pay Disney prices to get in, and but it's really a fun event. Again, if it's people that are looking to get into the Tiki scene, if you hear about these type of things, it's really a good opportunity to get, you know, see what it's all about, see people, and then a lot of the people who are there are talking and are, you know, we call ourselves the Ohana, the family. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can get a chance to meet people and talk about the different things that are going on in the Tiki culture.
Man, that is so great.
Yeah. Did it have anything to do with Halloween, or was it just kind of?
Yeah, it's the combination of Halloween. And then this year they had every event has an event mug. And this year they have a new mug, which very much looks like a Jack Skellington.
Okay.
Jack-o'-lantern. So it's a good Disney tie-in, good Tiki tie-in, I think. Some people, you know, purists may not have a may not like it, but I think it's a good Disney tie-in.
It's a good crossover.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, man, folks, if you aren't following Dave on Instagram, do that now or else.
Yeah, just do it. We'll find you on the internet.
Honestly, I don't even know how I found your account, Dave, but I've been following you for a while on my private normal account, and everything that you post is like drool worthy as far as awesome tiki, and just you look like you have an awesome life, my friend.
Yeah, you look like you're just having a ton of fun.
It's that whole phrase, you know, I wish my life was as exciting as it looks on my Instagram account.
Yeah, right? That's the story of all of our lives, my friend.
Yeah, I just, again, I really love the tiki scene. I really love the people I'm meeting in the tiki scene. So it's very selfish for me to, you know, to support. So, like, you know, I'll repost your guys' stuff. I'll repost my friend's art. And that's it. I just love it. So I try to be involved in it.
Well, we really appreciate all the support that you've given us, and really appreciate you taking. Really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Honestly, man,
waitress,
really,
another round, please.
Yeah, yeah. I've had not too many.
Yeah, get ready for the shipwreck. Okay, no, here we go.
We really do appreciate you being on, man. This has been awesome. It's going to be great for our listeners, and it's just been great being able to chew the fat with you.
Definitely.
Oh, huge honor for me. Thank you very much.
We'll have you on again in the future, without a doubt.
Oh, of course. Thank you. It'd be anytime.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was like the coolest interview of all time.
That was amazing.
Yeah, he was super laid back, which is what you kind of anticipate him being from his Instagram account. Honestly, folks, if you don't follow Tiki Chippy, you really should, because it will brighten your day, especially some of the art that he does with his morning pancakes.
Definitely. He loves pancakes and tiki mugs and Hawaiian shirts and just all the things that make life better.
Well, and one thing that we are wanting to do, speaking of media, is we are going to be posting something special. Harry, why don't you tell them about it?
There is actually a Vimeo of our visit to Trader Sam's like 3 years ago. If you do a web search for Alan Harry Trader Sam's Adventure or something like that. Anyway, we're on Vimeo, and we had a great time. So
we'll actually be putting a link to that over on our Tumblr page. So if you're curious, you can jump over there and check it out.
Exactly, yeah.
Harry may have a couple too many libations, and I may end up in jail after the video stopped.
We ended up in the hooscow from the hooch.
You ought to be locked in a hooscow, you.
That's anybody the long who story watch, short.
Anybody who watches the 1972 made-for-TV Lorax will actually understand my quote from The One Slur.
Well, what's funny is that we would have been able to do a lot more if our plot hadn't been foiled by four kids in a van and their little dog.
We would have drank more if it weren't for you meddling kids. Finally, Trader Sam's Enchanted Tiki Bar is a special kind of magic that only Disney is able to concoct. Its awesome atmosphere and delicious drinks make it a must-see destination for any true Disney fan. And even though it may not be located in Adventureland, Trader Sam's Enchanted Tiki Bar will forever be a part of the Adventureland legacy.
And that is all for this episode.
And once again, we'd like to throw out a special thanks to Dave Nelms for helping us out with this episode. We honestly couldn't have done it without you, buddy.
Thank you so much, Dave. So now for our own plug, please subscribe on iTunes and get the most up-to-date info, pics, and fun on our Instagram and our website. You can just search the Backside of Water podcast. We're also on Twitter. We have a goofy handle, but it's the best I could come up with. It's at Backside of Water, but we don't have a C, so it looks like back, B-A-K. But that's us. We have quality content, so follow us, tweet at us, talk at us. We like you. We want to hear from you.
I think it's really funny because the person who does own at Backside of Water is, I think it has one follower, and they've actually tweeted zero times.
Their picture is an egg. I've talked to her. I think it's a her. A couple times, just saying, hey, can we have your handle? Can we have your handle? But I don't think she's been on Twitter since 2001.
Have you gotten any response from her?
No. So we'll keep plugging away so we don't have backside of water, but that's what we got.
Backside.
Well, Twitter's really, I was going to do underscores like we
have in our Instagram, but Twitter won't let you have that long of a handle.
Oh.
So, yeah, I had to just crucially decide, like, backside of water, you can only, that's as long as it can be.
And I think that if you were to do, like, backside underscore water, you'd get some questionable people following you on Twitter.
I was like, backside water, that's great. And I was like, no. Anyway, so we're B-A-K, side of water. If you enjoy the podcast, do us a favor and rate us in the App Store. This podcast is a labor of love, and we really appreciate any sort of feedback you have for us.
And we thrive off of it. It's actually like Wally in the sun. We have to sit in front of our screens every single night before bed, and we hold our hands out, stretched like wings of a bird, right in front of our screen, and we gain life from those ratings. So please give us some more ratings.
That's what happens, really.
Are we sounding desperate yet?
Give us ratings. Just give us ratings. Don't just stop what you're doing and rate us.
Look, what do we have to do to get you to give us a rating?
We love you. Why don't you love us back?
So we'll see y'all next time when we continue our Grand Circle tour around the park with our brand new series exploring the world of New Orleans Square. This is so awesome that we actually got through series one.
I know, and I'm so excited for New Orleans Square. It's an awesome area, one of my favorites.
Folks, thanks for joining us for Series 1, and we can't wait to get through Series 2 with you. So until next time, as you exit, please watch your head and watch your step.
And if you miss your head and watch your step and you hit your language, make sure you say goodbye.
Goodbye, folks.